He suddenly straightened up, shouted, "I just want to remind you apes that each and every one of you has cost the government, counting weapons, armor, ammo, instrumentation, and training, everything, including the way you overeat, has cost, on the hoof, better than $500,000. Add in the 30 cents you are actually worth, and that runs to quite a sum." He glared at us. "So bring it back. We can spare you, but we can't spare that fancy suit you're wearing. I don't want any heroes in this outfit. The lieutenant wouldn't like it. You got a job to do. You go down, you do it, you keep your ears open for recall, you show up for retrieval on the bounce, and by the numbers. Get me?" He glared again. "You're supposed to know the plan, but some of you ain't got any minds to hypnotize, so I'll sketch it out. You'll be dropped in two skirmish lines, calculated 2,000-yard intervals. Get your bearing on me as soon as you hit. Get your bearing and distance on your squad mates, both sides, while you take cover. You've wasted 10 seconds already, so you smash and destroy whatever's at hand until the flankers hit dirt." He was talking about me. As assistant section leader, I was going to be left flanker, with nobody at my elbow. I began to tremble. "Once they hit, straighten out those lines. Equalize those intervals. Drop what you're doing and do it. 12 seconds. Then advance by leapfrog, odd and even, assistant section leaders minding the count and guiding the envelopment." He looked at me. "If you've done this properly, which I doubt, the flanks will make contact as recall sounds, at which time, home you go. Any questions?" There weren't any. There never were. He went on. "One more word. This is just a raid, not a battle. It's a demonstration of firepower and frightfulness. Our mission is to let the enemy know that we could have destroyed their city, but didn't, but that they aren't safe even though we refrain from total bombing. You'll take no prisoners, you'll kill only when you can't help it, but the entire area we hit is to be smashed. I don't want to see any of you loafers back aboard here with unexpended bombs. Get me?" He glanced at the time. "Razik's roughnecks have got a reputation to uphold. The lieutenant told me before he bought it to tell you that he will always have his eye on you every minute, and that he expects your names to shine." Jelly glanced over at Sergeant Migliaccio, first section leader. 5 minutes for the Padre, he stated. Some of the boys dropped out of ranks, went over and knelt in front of Migliaccio, and not necessarily those of his creed either. Muslims, Christians, Gnostics, Jews, whoever wanted a word with him before a drop, he was there. I've heard tell that there used to be military outfits whose chaplains did not fight alongside the others, but I've never been able to see how that could work. I mean, how can a chaplain bless anything he's not willing to do himself? In any case, in the mobile infantry, everybody drops, and everybody fights. Chaplain and cook and the old man's rider. Once we went down the tube, there wouldn't be a roughneck left aboard, except Jenkins, of course, and that not his fault.